Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Joanne, thank you very much indeed for that. The number of people killed by Israeli airstrikes in Lebanon today has now increased to 274, according to the Lebanese Health Ministry. Israel air attacks began this morning, shortly after the IDF sent warning messages telling people in Lebanon to evacuate areas in the south of the country and in Beirut. Tensions are now heightened, as this is the deadliest attack on Lebanon since the 2006 Israel-Hezbollah war. For analysis, I'm joined by Professor of International Relations, Favaz Gerges. Professor Gerges, you're very welcome to the programme. What do you make of what's happening?
Well, I mean, I think we've been warning about all-out war for the past 12 months. I think this is it. This is really a tipping point. Israel has escalated strategically. It's started to do in, you know, on the Lebanese front what it has been doing on the Gaza front for the past 12 months. Lebanon now is really, Israel is trying to turn Lebanon into another Gaza. You mentioned 274 killed and hundreds injured. There are many civilians who are killed, according to the Lebanese Health Ministry, including children, medical workers, women. I mean, it's carnage. It's just carnage.
You say this is all out war. If I may intervene for one second, I'm just looking at Major General Pat Ryder on the BBC briefing journalists, and he was asked about the potential for a wider regional conflict. He said, "I don't think we're there yet, but it's a dangerous situation. This is why it's so important that we continue to communicate and continue to work together to promote and find a diplomatic way ahead." He was saying that as the US sends additional troops to the Middle East.
Well, look, President Biden was asked today about the escalation on the Lebanese-Israeli front, and he said, the President of the United States says, quote-unquote, that he is afraid that what is happening on the Israeli-Lebanese front risks all-out war. The President of the United States is afraid. What this tells you is that the United States, the most powerful nation in the world, that it feeds this particular war, it arms Israel, it supports Israel, it's afraid that it has hardly any influence on the Netanyahu-led government decision-making process. It has not used any leverage to really bring about the end of the bloodletting in Gaza. The key to the escalation, as the Americans have repeatedly said, is the end of the war in Gaza, is a sustainable ceasefire. What this really shows is that American foreign policy has failed, and the failure of American foreign policy in Gaza is fueling all-out war, not only between Israel and Hezbollah, Lebanon's Hezbollah, but also this war could really escalate into a wider regional conflict involving Iran and its allies, and the United States, and Britain, and France.
Is it fair to say that US foreign policy has failed when you say as well that Israel has done this, escalated it in Lebanon strategically? So what can they do if they cannot stop Netanyahu from doing this?
Well, I mean, they can do a lot of things. Israel will not do what it does if it was not protected by the United States. It was not really, if it's not armed by the United States, if it's not really supplied with money and arms by the United States. You're talking about really a tiny state. And Israel, if the United States basically stops or ends the supply of weapons just for 1 week, the entire Israel killing machine will come to a stop. Make no doubt about it. This war, I mean, goes on because of America's full complicity in this war. That is, you have three major states that sustaining this war: the United States, the United Kingdom, and Germany. This is why I say that President Biden is genuine about really wanting the escalation. He is genuine about wanting to end the bloodshed in Gaza. But he has not really used leverage. He has not really leveraged, which is, I mean, can you imagine what the United States, the influence and the power and the leverage that the United States has over Israel?
Without question. But I wonder, is it not a checkmate situation that the US finds itself in this situation? Because in a match between Israel and Iran, the US will obviously back Israel 100 times out of 100. They see Iran as a threat. So to stop the supply of weapons to Israel for any period of time surely accentuates the position of Iran.
Well, look, I mean, who's doing the provocation now? Who's doing the killing? Who's doing the escalation? What did the United States do in the past 3 days? It has sent more and more naval resources to the Mediterranean. The United States now and the United Kingdom and Australia and other powers have one of the largest naval armada in the area, larger than during the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq. So the United States, it's one thing to say that the United States wants to counterbalance, wants to basically prevent a wider conflict. But how do you prevent a wider conflict without ending the bloodshed in Gaza? And who is refusing to end the bloodshed in Gaza? In fact, here is my why I'm a bit cynical. I think what Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, is doing, he's playing for time. He's running the clock on Biden. He's hoping that his best ally, Donald Trump, will recapture the White House in November and will give him a green light to do whatever he wants. So in fact, not only President Biden is fueling this particular war, he is really allowing Netanyahu to basically trigger a wider regional conflict, either directly or indirectly. Without American leverage, there will be no end to the war, either in Gaza or probably a wider regional conflict in the next few weeks.
And if that is correct, what you posit, it's a really fertile time for Benjamin Netanyahu and an opportune time for him to do so before the November election. Can I ask you this, though? How long is it, or what triggers a wider war that involves, along with Hezbollah, the Houthis and Iran proper, which may force the US to have boots on the ground?
Well, I mean, already the United States is preparing for this possibility. There is very close coordination between the United States and Israel, and the United States and its Western allies and Israel. They are preparing for this possibility. That's why they are stationing some of the biggest and most lethal naval armada, air force and special forces and marines in the area. But the reality, what the United States is doing, the United States is not a firefighter. All I'm saying, where are the firefighters? The United States is playing the arsonist now. It's providing Benjamin Netanyahu with exactly what he wants. Look, if I were Benjamin Netanyahu, why would I accept any ceasefire? Why would I accept any de-escalation? Not only my political future is online, but in fact, I get everything I want, even though President Biden and his officials are very displeased with what Netanyahu is doing, and they have expressed it in the past few days, but they're not doing anything about it. So basically, you say, I don't like what you do, but I'll send you the arms, the ammunition, the political support, and the Security Council. So from a realist, cynical point of view, Benjamin Netanyahu is doing everything right, because he's getting exactly what he wants from the United States and saying to the United States, we'll take your money, your arms, but we'll do exactly what we think is right.
I do understand, but he's not doing this without some context as well. I'm reading on Haaretz that Hezbollah has fired 165 rockets into Israel. And we spoke with the former Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Olmert, last week in the programme. He made the point that this is continually happening. Hezbollah firing rockets into Israel. What do you think we should do? He said, of course, we're going to retaliate.
Well, look, I want Israel to live in peace and harmony. But Israel cannot have absolute security at the expense of its allies. I mean, you asked the question, and I'm surprised and shocked you didn't ask him. Why don't you accept the ceasefire in Gaza? Why don't you end the, genocide in Gaza, according to, Israel now stands accused of committing genocide before the International Court of Justice. No one is saying that Israel should not really have peace and security and stability. How many did you ask him? Tens of thousands of times, according to the United Nations, Israel has violated the sovereignty of Lebanon, continuous for the past 30, 40 years. Israel does not respect the sovereignty or the security of its neighbors. So, of course, I want Israel to have security, but Israel has to realize they have to live in the neighborhood as good citizens. They cannot continue their military occupation of the Palestinians. They should allow Palestinian self-determination. We're all talking the same thing, but the question on the table is, how do we go from this particular point to a situation where Israel can live in harmony with its neighbors? Mm-hmm. That means, very simply, the entire world is saying, we have to address Israel's occupation, colonial occupation of Palestinian territories, allow the Palestinian self-determination, and integrate Israel into the social fabric of the region. That means Israel cannot be an empire, cannot be a military fortress. It has to live in peace and security as a good citizen, not to dominate and control the lives of the Palestinians and threaten its neighbors most of the times.
You raise some very, very good questions about the complexity of the geopolitical situation, which we did raise with Ehud Olmert. Can I ask you this, though? And you outlined the position of the US very, very well. What about the European Union? Could it leverage its influence in a better way, do you think?
Well, look, again, I'm going to put my cynical hat. What you're talking about? What European Union? With the exception of a few European countries, we're talking about the European Union does not exist as a unified entity. The nations that are standing up, you're talking about Ireland, Spain, Norway, and Malta, and few states. The main powerful states are with the United States 100%. The United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy. So we're not talking about wherever the United States goes, Europe follows. Literally, it's a dependent on the United States, in particular after Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. Europe has become more and more dependent on the United States. It has no independent voice, even though it could be a force for good. It could really be a third power between the United States on the one hand and China and Russia on the other hand. But Europe is more inward looking. The rise of far-right groups, ethnic populism, what have you, really forced Europe now and Russia's invasion of the Ukraine. So Europe really is more focusing on its own survival and identity as opposed to really developing an independent position in world affairs.
Okay. Let's hope that this doesn't escalate further, but you would fear that it will. Professor of International Relations, Favaz Gerges, thank you very much indeed.